It was a super exciting game for the Jaguars yesterday. Celebrating is not done. We are not finished talking about it. We'll discuss it here more on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What up, folks? Thank you for joining me, Tony Wiggins, your host of Locked On Jaguars, the daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where we are thankful for you making us your first listen. And we're free on all platforms, making sure that you know it's your team every day. And wherever you get your podcast, you don't have to pay. It's absolutely free. Please like and subscribe on the YouTube page as well. Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. It's Victory Monday, man. It is Victory Monday here on Locked On Jaguars. And I know you guys are absolutely celebrating, and I know you're absolutely thrilled and as happy as you can be that the Jaguars pulled out a 28-27 victory over a very good Baltimore Ravens team yesterday. We're going to talk about some of these moments. We're going to talk about some of these moments and the fact that if this is the beginning of an absolute turn for this franchise, at some point, all of these moments in this game will become epic. We'll break it down because we're so used to breaking down the one or two or a few mistakes that the Jaguars make that prevent them from winning. We're going to talk about all the things that they did, the little things and the big ones that allowed them to win the game and the things that made it special, because contrary to what some folks believe, and I respect everyone's opinion, I don't just go to watch the Jags play. Sometimes you need a very elite dance partner to make it that much more sweet, especially when you win the game. So the immediate reaction yesterday that I saw in the locker room via video, I was not there at the stadium, was Doug Peterson saying this is a playoff caliber team, and this shows you that we're right there, that we're right there. It's all of the close games. It's all of the miscues. It's all of the coulda, woulda, shoulda that absolutely made this sweep. It's all of the times Doug went for it and people said he was chasing points that makes this that much sweeter to me, because what this really does is it really lets you know that this is how they're going to be. Just because things don't work, it doesn't mean that those things were a bad idea. Just because plays that they called didn't work, this shows you what happens when you execute. And I tell people this over and over again. Yesterday came down to guys executing and getting things right. It was an indication that they haven't quit, that the message hasn't been lost, that they believe that they're really, really close. That time off did them some good, I believe, because it let them sit and watch and think. They showed some other stuff, too, and this is the stuff we're going to get into. Coaches that made adjustments. Players who stepped up for guys who weren't involved. The second layer of players who played well and did the little things that are required to win. Guys who did things that did not really show up on the statistics. And then guys who did things that did show up in the statistics. So we're going to discuss all of that. We're going to spread that out between segment one and two. And then in segment three, I'm going to tell you why I think there are things that are so tangible that happened yesterday that they're actually going to carry over. Now, whether that means next week or the week after or next year, this will still be things that this team can build on. And I'll tell you the other things that could be, but I'm going to tell you the definite things I believe that they can absolutely build on from this point forward. Quickly, Let me get to some of the dudes that did things that were so important that no one will remember them, except that when you look at the scenario of how the end of the game played out, how huge they were. First of all, the entire defensive unit early in the game for holding the Baltimore Ravens to 3 field goals as opposed to giving up touchdowns. Because if they score a lot of those points, this game goes in an entirely different way and the Jaguars are lagging behind. That's not what happened, though. They made Justin Tucker, who is the GOAT, by the way, and he'll be a part of something we'll talk about at the end of segment 2 or the beginning of segment 3. But they made Baltimore settle for field goals. They didn't stop scraping and scratching and fighting the entire time. Luke Fortner, at the end of the game, when Trevor Lawrence fumbled after being hit, ironically, this is another part of the story, by Calais Campbell. He got sacked by Calais Campbell, fumbled the ball. Calais Campbell, who had received a standing ovation as the mayor of Jacksonville, who's had nothing but a positive impact on this city, even in his absence, came back yesterday and had a lot of class. It was a class on behalf of him, the way he received it, and on the Jaguars for acknowledging him on the big board. The irony that he was the one that sacked Trevor Lawrence, the ball got fumbled. And then Luke Fortner, your rookie center, had the wherewithal to fall on the ball and not get caught standing around watching. All of these things. Now, fumbling isn't a championship thing, but making the best out of a mistake is a championship thing. It was just one of the few things that went right for Jacksonville yesterday. And these are usually things that we talk about that go wrong for Jacksonville, but it did not happen yesterday. A gang of this stuff to talk about that makes yesterday's game, I believe, one of the 5 best games in franchise history. It could probably climb up the pole a little bit in the pantheon of Jaguars history if they're able to use it as something that turns around, and this game is the catalyst for a nice run to end the season, or even if they don't get the huge run that they need to make the playoffs, what will happen is it'll be something that you can hold on to for next year and say, that's what we're going to see more of. So we're going to discuss all of that, all of the players, some of the guys that also played key parts. And we're going to do that in just a second here on a Victory Monday edition. I know we're not used to saying that around here, right? But we are saying it today. It's a Victory Monday edition of Locked On Jaguars. This episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you're going to love. It's AUDIBLE, Audible. Find Block Forever now wherever you get your podcasts. This is a big deal, man, because you guys are going to love this. I love when the guys who actually kick that dirt around on the football field can do a good job of telling these stories and these unique stories, and that's what this is, all right? Block Forever is a brand new podcast from former All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. Khalil takes the conversation about football to the next level. He gives you, all the fans and insiders, look at the game through the eyes of the greatest players and personalities of all time. For instance, you hear how Christian McCaffrey talk about his love-hate relationship with fantasy football, and Juju Smith talk about stuff like how he gives his most honest opinions on other players and positions in the league. Catch the full Block Forever series, available anywhere you get your podcast, available everywhere now. Audible, that's Audible. Get in the game. You get in the game here with us here on Locked On Jaguars on a Victory Monday. It's because the Jacksonville Jaguars did the rare thing and actually won a super, super close game against the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, that entire crew. Baltimore didn't play poorly. They actually played well. What makes this game so special is after the Jaguars were close at halftime, and then they came out they had the ball. There was a sequence where they had the ball at the end of the first half, and they didn't get a touchdown, but they got a field goal. And then they came out at halftime with the ball, got good field position, and then went 3 and out. And I was like, God, that's a blown opportunity, a wasted opportunity. It was really sort of a raggedy drive, kind of lazy on the play call. And I criticized it at the time, so I'm going to tell you right now, I criticized it again. And oh, by the way, yeah, I did say something about Josh Oliver yesterday. That was in real time. And then after the game, all the Jaguar fans want to come back and say, yeah, whatever, we won. I didn't say it after the game, okay? The fact is they gave Josh Oliver away for a bag of peanuts just so Tim Tebow could try out at tight end. And I know he hasn't had – Josh Oliver hadn't had a great career. But lately he's figured something out, and they've used him. And we mentioned it on the crossover. Kevin Ostracker from Locked On Ravens mentioned it, that the last couple of weeks Josh Oliver showed up. When that room was completely empty, you had a guy come in here yesterday, score touchdowns and make a difference in the game, and that room is still pretty empty. Yeah, I'm going to bring it up that they gave him away for a bag of peanuts just so Tim could come try out for the team. But in any event, somebody told me too, they said he's not Gronk. Okay. Like, you don't think I know that Josh Oliver's not Gronk? Because if he was Gronk, then I would have been really calling them out on it, that they gave away the greatest tight end of all time just so Tim Tebow could try out for the team. But this is positivity today. It's all positive. Travis Etienne going out with a foot injury wasn't positive. Fortunately, he says he's fine. Doug Peterson said they could have gone back. He could have gone back in the game, but they decided just for precautions to hold off and don't let him play. And Jamichael Hasty, the person that people said wasn't doing anything since James Robinson left. Something about when you depend on somebody, how when you really, really need them, they step up more than when you really, really don't. And that's what he did yesterday. And I think what you saw in him is what they have probably seen in practice that hasn't translated to the games. He was a good player in preseason for San Francisco. And there are a lot of people that were shocked that he was let go, but it's because they had such an abundance at running back that they decided to let him go. And this system is similar enough to that one where Doug Peterson and them took a shot on him. And yesterday it paid off. Had a touchdown reception. Had a couple of critical plays where he got first downs where it didn't seem like – he only had 27, 28 yards rushing. But he had a couple of plays where he got loose, he put the stanky leg on somebody, I think it was Marcus Peters, and got a first down, a critical first down in the fourth quarter so the Jaguars could get within a field goal. And just while he wasn't perfect, he was good enough yesterday, right? Zay Jones was the de facto number one guy yesterday, not Christian Kirk. But we'll get back to Christian Kirk. The fourth down catch on the sideline, epic. The two-point conversion catch on the sideline, wonderful. But there are a lot of plays that he made extending drives earlier in the game that allowed the Jaguars to not give up too much time of possession to the Baltimore Ravens and keep their defense on the field. He was all day yesterday, 11 catches, 145 yards. He was all day Zay yesterday. And in the locker room, he even spoke about saying how good it felt to contribute for his teammates. And I think that answer is something that is going to resonate with that locker room and with the fans for a long time. Let's talk about Christian Kirk. A couple of huge plays. One on a catch and run in the third quarter where he caught the ball, shook, got the first down, bullied ahead with some run after the catch stuff. We keep forgetting that he was a punt returner in college. The other one, of course, was the big catch over the middle when the Jaguars didn't have any timeouts. It was a bit of an overthrow by Trevor. If he lets that go, or if he tips it and not only lets it go, but if he tips it, what will happen is that ball is easily intercepted. So the Jaguars got those plays out of Christian Kirk, who they expected to get a lot of plays for. They expected to get a lot of plays out of him. But the main thing is, even when he wasn't the guy, he absolutely stepped up and made some huge plays down the stretch. So we talk about the guys who made the plays. We talk about certain moments. I'm going to also give you a little spit about some things because we ain't talked about Trevor yet. We ain't talked about Doug Peterson going for it yet. There were some things that happened from the Ravens' point of view that allowed the drama to even surface up more than it actually, you know, would have in a normal situation. When Trayvon Walker got the hold called on him, finally, because he'd been getting help for 3 weeks, It made it a second and I believe a second and a first and 20 with Lamar backed up. I was angry that they didn't let Trayvon rush again because the next play, he dropped back. Okay, this is in the fourth quarter with the Jaguars trailing by 2 points. He dropped back. And in the form, you know, while he was dropping back, it gave so much time because the Jaguars only rushed three people that Deshaun Jackson got behind. Wouldn't that be something if I said Deshaun Watson got behind somebody? Deshaun Jackson got behind the defense and caught a long pass. The veteran doing what he's done for his entire career. And you heard the gasp come out of the crowd. But the Jaguars held up. And they held up. And they did what they were supposed to do. Doug Peterson reserved his timeouts, used the timeouts correctly, then used the two-minute warning to make sure he gave Trevor Lawrence enough time when he got the ball back. Then, after the Jaguars scored, which we'll get back to that when I talk about Trevor and Doug, they did a squib kick, and the first thing that I said was, why? Because all they got to do now is complete one pass, and they just got to get it past midfield, and that dude, Justin Tucker, who's the GOAT of all time, he'll make it from Savannah. He comes on, he kicks, he goes for an NFL record 67-yard field goal. He kicks it, and it is dead on. Dead on. I mean, it was like a rocket. And early in the game, he made a 56-yarder that would have been good from 66. This one was only good from 65, though, and he came up a yard and a half short. But I thought he made it. This adds to it. If you don't think it adds to it, there are people that have been fans around here long enough to remember Morton Anderson. One of the greatest kickers of all time at that time held the record for most field goals made, and he missed a field goal that allowed the Jaguars to go to the playoffs. So it was a little bit of deja vu and a little bit of different circumstances, but the GOAT coming in like John Wayne, like Elvis, kicking his heart out and still having it fall short because of the win here in Duval actually added to all of this for me. Now, here's what I'm going to get to. We'll talk about Trevor, and I'm going to talk about Doug the same way I did Doug Peterson, the same way I did on the postcast yesterday. However, I want to make sure that I mention whether or not this is going to be something tangible that's going to be something that we really, really have to watch as we move forward. Is this going to be the thing that absolutely turns this entire thing around for the Jacksonville Jaguars? I'll do that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars after I let you know that today's show is brought to you by Prize Picks. You ever played Daily Fantasy? A Daily Fantasy game that involves entries and player projections where you have to decide whether it's more or less than those projections that have been designated by Prize Picks. That's what you're going to do on this game. And you can pick 2 to 5 players. And if you get them right, you can win 10 times your money that you bet on these wagers. Now, I'm telling you, you can get it done, man. Like yesterday, I know for a fact, Trevor Lawrence went over the yards that were projected on him by Prize Picks. And if you said he was going to go over, you would have won that game. The way that you do it is you download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On and sign up for an instant deposit match of $100. That promo code, once again, is Locked On. We thank you for joining us here again, making us your first listen here on Locked On Jaguars. Check out Locked On Sports Today too, man. Locked On Sports Today uses all of the local experts, yours included, right? The local experts to give you the biggest stories of the day. And when you get those big stories from local experts, that means it has a lot of credibility. My man Peter Bukowski is the host of Locked On Sports Today, and you can check that out on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. It's free and available to you there. The two heroes yesterday, obviously, they talked about the rest of the team. It was Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence played the third straight game, lights out. He is 83 of 103 for 824 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 0 picks his last 3 games. That is outstanding. I challenge you to find any quarterback that has had 3 consecutive games that good in the last 3 to 4 weeks. Trevor has done that. But more importantly, he was a leader yesterday. He put to bed all of the questions about his desire, about the fire, about the passion, certainly on whether or not he has the arm of a generational quarterback. He does. And I told you it wasn't physical. You just wondered if he ever was going to catch up to it up here. And I like what Dewey Wingard said in the locker room yesterday about Trevor. He said this is like his rookie year. Dewey was, quote unquote, apparently a favorite of Urban Meyer. Dewey Wingard said yesterday he felt sorry for Trevor last year, and I'm paraphrasing, that he had to deal with Urban Meyer last year. I love the fact that folks are openly acknowledging that this is really that kid's rookie year. Last year was whatever, man. You know, he probably had a lot of garbage in, garbage out, and things that he had to forget from last year. But yesterday, on a big stage, going up against one of the former league MVP, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, one of the best franchises in the league, one of the best coaches in the league, he showed up and showed out and was the absolute, in my opinion, in a lot of areas, was the best player on the field yesterday, and it showed. So, Doug Peterson, old aggressive Doug, finally got paid off for that aggression. And now this is what I kept telling people when I said, you don't get to turn that thing on and off. It is what it is. And while you can be smart about it a little bit, that's just how he's wired. That's how he was wired in Philadelphia. That's how he's wired here. You don't dummy down the offense. You keep the offense what it is. You just force your guy to play better. You don't change your approach. Whenever you look at results not coming in, it's easy to say, okay, we have to scale things back just to win games. Not if you lost them because of poor execution. I kept telling you, there's nothing wrong with the plays that are called. These guys just have to play better. Yesterday, they played better. And now you see the power of execution. The power of execution is not something you do sometimes. They need it every single time. The catch by Christian Kirk over the middle, the fourth down play, the two-point conversion where no one was overthrown, the touchdown earlier to Jamal where no one was overthrown, where Trevor put the ball on the money where it was supposed to be. The throw to Marvin Jones Jr., perfect execution. He toe-tapped and got his ankle down, got a touchdown. All of these things. Everything had to go just like it was supposed to, and it did. You have to try to be that way every week. I know it doesn't always happen, but yesterday was the culmination of Trevor Lawrence being great and Doug Peterson also coming through with his same aggression that allowed the team to be in the position they were and obviously win the game yesterday. Now, moving forward, what does it mean? Does it mean they're going to win every week? No. Does it mean they're going to make the playoffs? No. Does it mean that we're not going to see a little bit of regression here or there because of resistance from other teams and a different type of matchup? No. But this is still going to be something you can build on. Just like I said yesterday, we don't do moral victories. But when that crowd stood up and was like, we're going for 2, we're going to try to win this game, because you don't want to get into an overtime contest and the kicker for the other team is Justin Tucker. You go for it right now. We ain't got nothing to lose, as Doug said. You go for it right now and you win, and you put everybody on notice, this is what we're going to do all the time, and you let your team know that this is what they're going to do all the time. I'm not saying they're going to win the rest of the games, but what I'm telling you is this can be a prelude once they get to the offseason and get some more weapons like Calvin Ridley in and have another free agency class and have another draft class. And now they have guys that have had a taste of what it's like to win these type of games and win them in real fashion, not like they did last year against Buffalo where it was just fool's gold. This was won off the muscle. This was won off of heart and determination. Now this is something that could carry on. Now it could be really, really special and memorable and all of these things that we're talking about if they do go on some sort of a magical run and win all of their games or all but one of their games and have a chance at 9-8 or 10-7 to sneak into the playoffs. Then I think we're cooking with grease. And I think this game might go down as a top three game in history if that happens. You guys make sure you tune in the rest of the week. We'll talk about our next opponent as well. We will have, obviously, our crossover Thursdays. We'll get some information from the pressure today that I won't be able to attend, and we'll talk about the comments from that and how the team moves forward, get a report on Travis Etienne, and give you all the news and notes of the day on our next episode of Locked On Jaguars. Make sure you join us here because it's your team every day, and we thank you for making us your first listen. Take care of each other, and we'll see you on the next episode.